From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. In the last 15 years, neighborhood associations have been popping up in the city of La Crosse, and while they've done some good things to improve the quality of their communities, they've also had a hard time finding a voice at La Crosse City Hall to provide input into the ways city government can play a role in neighborhood revitalization. Sarah Sullivan is a city council member and a chair of a re-energized Neighborhood Revitalization Commission in La Crosse. Randy Magno heads the Washburn Neighborhood Association and also sits on the commission. I asked Magno why neighborhoods are so important for a city.
The way your neighborhoods go is the way the city goes. If your neighborhoods get run down, your city is going to get run down. We see that with the areas that were identified in the report by the county and city housing. They targeted the neighborhoods that they felt were drawing the city taxes down. And so the neighborhoods are extremely important. You have to take care of your neighborhoods. And when you take care of your neighborhoods, you have more people living there. And the more single families we can bring into our neighborhoods, the better off the city is going to be. Rental does not provide the tax base, nor does it provide the stability that a city needs. We need homeowners, we need single families with children in order to revitalize our neighborhoods and get the city back on track.
And you live in the Washburn neighborhood. You
yes,
represent
I do.
The Washburn neighborhood.
Yep.
Can you talk about how long you've lived there and what it's been like living in the Washburn
neighborhood?
I've been
in the Washburn neighborhood probably about 10 years now. I started living in rental, and then I bought a fourplex. So it's an owner-occupied fourplex. I live in it. I am in the neighborhood. I've seen radical changes since the Neighborhood Association has been conceived. We've done projects with Firefighters Credit Union for beautification. We've done projects with St. Francis, with our gardens. We've started the rain barrel production in La Crosse. The neighborhood, when I started, was basically just a typical rundown neighborhood, but we're starting to make inroads. We're starting to get buy-in from the people that we need to get it from, the city fathers. You know, the days of the tearing down houses to put parking lots in and big boxes is over, you know, and that's due to the neighborhoods. One of the first things our neighborhood association did was rezone the neighborhood to prevent the big boxes from coming in. And so we keep track of anybody that's trying to get, you know, different zoning than what we have. And we fight what we feel is worth fighting, and we agree with some that we need to do. We're also getting new housing built by the city in our neighborhood, which is helping bring in those single families, you know, into our neighborhood. So the neighborhood, in the about 10 years that I've been there, has probably improved about 80%, and we still have ways to go, though.
And Sarah Sullivan, I'll ask you the same questions backwards. How long have you lived in La Crosse? Where do you live, and why are neighborhoods so important?
I've been in La Crosse for 26 years. I came in the fall of 1986. Currently, I live on 16th Street between Market and Ferry. Before that, I lived on Mississippi Street in the 1600 block. So that neighborhood has always been important to me, I think. And I think when you look at the importance of neighborhoods, I would like for the whole city to be built of blocks like the two that I've lived in this community. You know, when I lived on Mississippi Street, I had neighbors on either side of me that if I had to run someplace, they would watch my kid and vice versa. Sometimes we shared tools, you know, rather than everybody having a whole bunch of stuff, we shared things with one another. And that happens in the block that I live in as well. It's a perfect example to me of what neighborhoods can be. And just building on what Randy said, I think everything that he said about what neighborhoods do for the community is absolutely true. I tend to think about it in terms of also what neighborhoods do for people. And when you have that sense of community and connection with your neighbors, there's much more of a buy-in. You know, I'm way more willing to tolerate some of the negative features of what happened in La Crosse simply because I love the neighborhood and I'm really interested in doing whatever I can to improve that and to take that to all the other neighborhoods in the city.
So both of you are members of the semi-newly formed Neighborhood Revitalization Commission. Sarah, you're chairing it. This commission was actually formed a while ago, but took a while to actually get people together. Can you talk about that history, Sarah?
Or Randy? I was sworn in probably 3 years ago. In fact, my first initial swearing in expired.
Without you ever meeting?
Without ever meeting.
Interesting.
I think when this was conceived by Larry Kirsch way back when.
The city planner.
The city planner, yeah, way back when. He had envisioned this commission as being, you know, the thing that was going to help bring the city up. I think that the reason that we've gotten this impetus right now has been the city-county housing project that they did that identified the same things that Larry had identified 3 or 4 years ago. The history is, you know, we were set to do this 4 years ago. We had talked about it. All the neighborhood associations had bought in on it. We even had a meeting down in the basement of the library about it. But it never got off the ground. And I think now is the perfect time because we have the mandate that we didn't have 3 or 4 years ago.
So now that the Neighborhood Revitalization Commission is meeting, there are members of the commission that represent neighborhoods, such as yourself, Randy. What do you think it will mean to have an official neighborhood voice at the city level?
I think it'll be a great thing. I think finally we will get some stuff done. A lot of times when you speak to, you know, the powers that be, it's usually in reference to something you don't like. Rather, you know, it's usually reactive. It's usually because they want to pass this or they want to pass that, and it's not good for the neighborhoods. This commission will be doing proactive things. Mm-hmm. We'll be determining and sending to those same powers that be actual working suggestions that will help the neighborhoods.
I think the recent election, well, it's not so recent anymore, last spring's election of some new council members also has prompted, to some extent, the revitalization of that revitalization commission, because there were three of us, Paul Mettinger and Fran Fermanic and myself, when we had the option of commissions or committees that we were interested in that just checked that for a variety of reasons. You know, we're all in neighborhoods that we really like, and that was part of why we wanted to be on city council. And then, you know, the three of us, it's like, did you ever hear about that meeting? No, nobody ever contacted me. So we also made a little rumblings. It's, are we ever going to meet as a commission? So I think it was absolutely an opportunity whose time had really come, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know all the history about what prompted the development of the Joint City Council Neighborhood Task Force that was looking on housing, but I just think, you know, all these things together have created a wonderful opportunity, and as Randy said, a real impetus. They did a lot of good work for us in terms of looking at it from a citywide perspective, that all we have to do is plug in some good neighborhood stuff that goes along with it.
And Sarah, you were a member of the Joint City-County Housing Task Force. You're the only member of that task force that has carried over into this Neighborhood Revitalization Commission.
That's right, I am, absolutely.
So looking back at the task force and to where you are now, how is housing processed in your head, and maybe what are some of the most eye-opening things that you've witnessed over these last handful of months?
Well, I think there are probably about three things that I would comment on. One is based on Carl Green's report that more of us were becoming aware of.
And that was the tax report.
That was the tax report from a long time ago. I think, you know, every time that information is made available to whoever learns about it, I think it's really important. Partially because I think it's really easy for us to say things like, well, all those non-taxed properties are what our problem is. And that is not supported at all by the data. You know, it's the number of properties that are valued at such a low level. So the tax base there is just barely, really low. I think the other thing that really has struck me is the lack of enforcement of all kinds of ordinances and laws that we have in our community, you know, whether it has to do with inspection or refuge scattered around, or even, you know, people in neighborhoods knowing exactly where drug houses are, and it just seems like they feel powerless to do anything about that. But then the third thing that really came out of that, I think, for me, was particularly at the level of the task force, was all the stakeholders that really are interested. You know, that group was made up of people who are willing to commit 6 months and brainstorm. I don't think anybody on there, for the most part, meant to be in it for the long haul. But you know, the combination of the city and the county, which has been critical, I think. I mean, they're finally recognizing from a county perspective how important the city of La Crosse is. But then all the private sector that's also become involved. You know, there were representatives from Gunderson Lutheran and people from Mayo came periodically. And I think we're recognizing that nobody can do that alone, that it's going to be a real community effort.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are Sarah Sullivan. She's a city council member, and she's the chair of the Neighborhood Revitalization Commission. Also, Randy Magno. He's the chair of the Washburn Neighborhood Association, and he's also a member of the Neighborhood Revitalization Commission. So, Randy, I want to know from you, after you read the Housing Task Force's final report, and they made recommendations, they analyzed different sectors of the city, what kind of struck you? What was the most surprising or more interesting concepts out of that report?
Probably the thing that struck me the most was the fact that finally someone has identified what we've been saying as a neighborhood association for many years. You know, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary, and for 10 years we've been pushing for paint and fix-up funds, and we've been pushing for water abatement, and we've been pushing for, you know, the rental, you know, inspections and that. And so that struck me as being the thing. The nice thing, the things I got out of that report, probably the number one thing that I think that the city should install immediately is the rental licensing. I mean, that to me...
Landlord or rental licensing?
The landlord.
Okay.
You know, as a landlord myself, mm-hmm. I would have no problem paying for a five-year license. I mean, to me, that is probably the number one thing that will help La Crosse. The ability for the city to enforce to basically force the landlords to take care of their places by yanking a license and not letting them rent will be the number one help for all the neighborhoods.
And it seems like there are landlords in town who are split on that issue.
There are a lot of landlords that are great landlords. I'm not here to preach against any landlord. I think the landlords need to step up. The landlords often feel like they're the ones that are being targeted, but they are the ones that own a large percentage of the problems. And so therefore, it's time to, as a landlord, pull up our big boy pants and say, what can we do to make it so that we're not feeling like we're targeted? I think licensing rentals and making sure the city has the power to pull that license if you're not doing what you're supposed to as a landlord is probably the biggest thing that's going to help the neighborhoods. Paint and fix-up money. There are so many people that, you know, are in situations, especially in today's economy, that can't afford to replace windows and can't afford to paint their homes and can't afford to do landscaping, things like that. If I'm able to give them a grant, that they have to match, and it'll help them replace some windows, it'll help them redo some of their curb appeal. This will improve the housing stock. We have to stop. As I see it, we have to stop putting more fees on people. One of the worst fees that just came out was the fees to replace your windows. I've always believed in the carrot and the stick idea. Okay, give incentives. That's how you get people to do things. You don't get people to do things by adding a tax because they're going to say, "Well, I'm not going to put new windows in if I have to pay a fee and then pay an assessor to raise my taxes. I'd be stupid to put in new windows." But if I can go ahead and get a incentive that says, okay, we'll hold your tax increase for 3 years. Now I have an incentive to replace my windows. Now I'm saying, okay, I can do that because 3 years from now, the economy will be better and then I can afford that increase in taxes. Now I get the immediate benefit. And they put off, you know, these are the things you have to do in the city, in the neighborhood.
Sarah, did you want to add anything?
I think what we're hearing from some of the neighborhood associations is what I would refer to as really thinking outside the box. You know, part of the legislation that he's talking about came from the fact that the city feels pretty much under siege. You know, a lot of our state funding has been cut, and so people are figuring out what can we do to make more money so that we can just keep the city going. But there's a certain way that city officials, including elected officials, have thought about that. And one of the ways we think about it is just charge fees, whatever. But, you know, I really had not thought about deferring taxes. You know, if I have the money to pay for the windows this year, maybe I really don't have money to pay extra taxes. But, you know, after I've enjoyed my windows for a little while, to do it in 3 years or whatever, even if the economy doesn't get a lot better, I won't have that outlay for the windows as well as for the taxes.
So what seemed to be two of the biggest recommendations that the Housing Task Force made, and I know there's some hopes that the Neighborhood Revitalization Commission can carry these out. Sarah, as you talked about before, code and law enforcement sort of stepping that up, mm-hmm. and also revitalizing neighborhoods. I mean, as far as code enforcement, what can a city commission do about that?
I don't want to talk about that today because I don't know yet. You know, I think that we've all identified that as a serious problem on a number of different levels. And I think that we need to be very careful as we proceed with what our recommendations are there. And I'm really not prepared to make too many statements about that. I do know that part of the concern that we have, obviously, is the number of empty positions in the city staffing, and that ranges from the inspections department to the police force, and I think those definitely play into it. In the bigger scheme, I'm not sure how we can accommodate. I think we can make recommendations, just as any other commission does, that we think somehow we should figure out how to staff all the positions or look at it, whatever. But I really am not prepared to think about that. What I think we also can do, though, that came out of the task force that hasn't been highlighted quite as much in my mind or anybody else's, I don't think, and that is the need for the city to pay attention to some of the infrastructure in the neighborhoods, because part of the, I don't know, disrepair in neighborhoods is city responsibility as well. So I think we need to really pay attention to that. And that's one of the things that we focused on with regard to people's sense of safety. You know, if it's dark, you're not going to want, you go to visit those neighborhoods, you're not going to want to be there. So I think we've agreed that there are certainly some places in our community that you could use some additional lighting.
And that is one of the big
things, yeah. One of the things that we're working on right now as a task force is to have a voice, at least in endorsing or making additional recommendations for the 2013 budget. You know, our feeling is that we need to let the powers that be know that there are some real needs in the city in terms of the infrastructure that we can ask for. And also in terms of some of the paint-up fix-up funds, there are just a number of things that we can put in, that we are going to want to put forward into that budget. And actually, we've spent a lot of time and energy trying to digest exactly what the task force recommendations are, at the same time getting some ideas of what we would like to put forward into the budget. So that's taken a lot of our energy. So some of the bigger questions that you're asking, I would feel uncomfortable talking about, because I don't think we know quite yet.
It's still a pretty new commission.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
We did identify enforcement as an issue. We do have issues. We're waiting to kind of see if we can't think outside the box on some of these enforcement issues. Again, you wouldn't have so many enforcement issues if you have things like a paint and fix-it program in place. You know, if you have pride in, if you can install the pride in your neighborhood, you won't have the enforcement issues. You know, and this is where the paint and fix-up money comes in, is, you know, as the neighborhood people see their neighbors painting and fixing up, they tend, you know, we saw this over at the Firefighters Credit Union. When I was in town, firefighters had, I don't know if you remember, they had barbed wire, a chain link fence around their parking lot with barbed wire on it. And one of the first things I did, you know, when I got involved was went to the head man in charge at Firefighters and said, can I remove your barbed wire? Because it looks really bad. And he said, go for it. So my son and I and a friend went out there and spent a Saturday afternoon removing the barbed wire. Well, then the next thing we proposed was, how about we take the section of fence along Fifth Street there, and you invest $1,200 and we put in a flower garden there, and the city will in turn take all the asphalt between the sidewalk and the curb and replace it with grass and put trees. And so they did. Well, then across the street, you see St. Francis has taken their asphalt and cement between their sidewalks and put flowers. And across the other way, south, the trophy shop let us put trees in on their property, and they put a siding on their building. So it's a kind of cascading effect. And this is what you'll see. And once you have the cascading effect going on in the neighborhoods, you won't have an enforcement problem. And we're behind the eight ball on this enforcement right now. And the way we can get ahead of it is by doing, you know, proactive things.
So on the commission, there's a lot of different neighborhood representatives, also just community members. How is it that you'll be able to balance needs within the city? Say some energy wants to be put in the Powell Hood Hamilton neighborhood, but you don't want to have the North Side representative feel left out. How are you going to make sure everyone kind of comes together and prioritizes energy and efforts?
I've seen that even at the level of the city council, if we make some recommendation for improvement on the south side, then, well, what are you going to do on the north side or in a particular neighborhood? Quite frankly, the representatives from the neighborhoods seem to be interested in the whole city, and we've talked about that. And my sense is that we want to focus on things that we can all agree on and prioritize, because I think even people on the north side understand the importance of the Powell Hood Hamilton neighborhood for the whole city, for the whole community. So I really think that's one of our biggest jobs, is to help us all understand that you might have to wait a turn as we prioritize, but that we have the whole city in mind. Part of what I feel like we're doing right now is getting to know each other as members and really building up some understanding of what your expertise is, what my expertise is, and a sense of trust among us, which, you know, it's not going to come overnight either. But I sense that already. I've been really pleased with the meetings that we've had so far, that everybody seems to recognize that some things are perhaps more of a priority. It doesn't mean that we're not going to do anything else, but that we'll push one, like some of the capital budget improvements, we'll push those forwards, but always keeping other stuff on the back burner that we can move forward. And that's my fondest hope for this commission, is that we can really begin to look at it as a whole city and do a combination of spot things and make some big splash. You know, I often hear people talking about improvements in neighborhoods as an either or. You know, do we want to give a little bit of money to this house here and this house here, or do we want to concentrate a whole bunch of money in a couple of blocks and make a big effort? And that kind of black and white either or thinking bothers me, because I think we can think about doing all of it.
Sarah Sullivan is a La Crosse City Council member who is also charging the city's Neighborhood Revitalization Commission. Randy Magno leads the Washburn Neighborhood Association and is also on the commission. They were talking about the importance of neighborhoods and working to improve housing in the city of La Crosse. To learn more about La Crosse housing and taxes, rentals, and the Powell Hood Hamilton neighborhood, visit our website, wpr.org/lacrosse. There, you can hear our in-depth series on housing that ran this week on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also now on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, follow us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.